Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nazir Daf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur opens Maseches Nazir. Maseches Nazir follows Maseches Nedarim. Those who are following the Daf Yomi schedule will find a great deal of similarity to the nature of this Masechta, Maseches Nazir, both in terms of content and Gemara style. Nazir, in effect, is a subcategory, in a manner of speaking, of Nedarim. Nedarim is the self-imposed obligation of taking a vow, and vows cover, of course, all areas of life. Nazir is specifically the vow upon which one restricts the oneself from wine consumption, all vine products, as well as other mitzvos, for example, the prohibition of defilement to the dead. And a large topic concerning the bringing of sacrifices at the conclusion of the Nazirus period. Your basic Nazirus period, unless otherwise qualified, is 30 days. And that is learned from drushos, from psukim, that the Gemara deals with. The style of Maseches Nazir, in terms of the Gemara text, is very unique in terms of the Talmud Bavli. For whatever reason, it's beyond the scope of our Gemara markings shiur, but for whatever reason, the Gemara text is not as clear as you will find in the rest of the Bavli, and hence trying to be precise in presenting the Gemara on a, we'll say, linguistic, textual basis is a bit more challenging than you'll find in other Masechtas. And another phenomenon that you find is that the Rashi commentary is in all likelihood not the original Rashi that one is familiar with throughout the Shas, but probably a commentary from that very period of time, a Rishon. But the language you'll find is not what we'll call standard Rashi style. And on the other hand, you find another interesting phenomenon, and that is that the Tosfos commentary throughout this Masechta are very much oriented in conveying and explaining the simple pshat of the Gemara. We call them pshat-based Tosfosim, where you find them very, very helpful, and we encourage in your Gemara review to glance often in the Tosfos commentary for additional clarification. So the Tosfos in this Masechta has a dual role. Not only does he function in the standard Tosfos capacity, citing other Gemaras and raising questions in light of sources found in other places, but he also elucidates the simple meaning of the Gemara at hand. And the Mirtz Hashem, we will take full advantage of the Tosfos commentary as we go through the Masechta. Take note that there is also the Rosh commentary that you find on the side of the Gemara in your standard Vilna edition. You'll see a smaller print, but also very helpful. So, like Maseches Nedarim, where we took advantage of the different commentaries on the page, the same holds true here in Maseches Nazir. One is highly advised to familiarize himself with the psukim that are relevant to Maseches Nazir. There's an entire section of the Torah that's dedicated to Nazir. You'll find the psukim in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Vav. So through Perek Vav till practically the end of Perek Vav, the very end of Perek Vav deals with the Birkas Kehanim, the priestly blessings. But up from the beginning, from Perek Pasuk Aleph of Perek Vav through Pasuk Chof Aleph, you see the psukim that are relevant to the laws of Nazirus. Of course, we didn't mention one of the main features of Nazirus, in addition to the prohibition of drinking wine and defilement to the dead. There is also the haircut prohibition during the duration of the Nazirus period. At the conclusion of the Nazirus period, there are halachas that deal with the hair removal, the body shave, all hairs are removed, and we mention the bringing of sacrifices, and then there is an entire section of law that applies to the Nazir that defiled himself to the dead, and what he needs to do vis-a-vis resuming the Nazirus period that he that became voided by his defilement. All the details are featured throughout the Masechta. So let us now turn to the Mishnah, and I hope that those who learned Nedarim will find this Mishnah very familiar, and in fact the ensuing Gemara will appear to be quite familiar as well. So now, the Mishnah. Kol kinuye nezirus kinezirus. The term kinuye can be explained as alternative expressions to the formal use of the word nazir. So instead of someone saying hare olai nazirus or hareini nazir, he uses another word. And you will see those words featured in the next line of the Mishnah. But in the meantime, the Mishnah is telling us that the use of alternative expressions of nazirus are as binding as one who uses the formal word Nazirus in accepting upon himself this Nazirite-ship. Ha'omer aho hare ze nazir. O ahe noe. Now this is not an example of kinuyim. This is an example of what's called a yad, a partial phrase, a partial commitment, partial meaning in terms of phraseology. The word ahe means I will be. A person who says I will be, he's thereby bound to Nazirus. You might be asking, what's the connection between saying I will be and accepting Nazirus? So we'll see more about that in the Gemara. But in the meantime, this is referred to as a yad. A yad is a handle. When you, let us say, want to pick up a drinking cup and there is a handle, you can pick up the entire cup simply by grasping the handle and raising it. All you're holding on to is just the handle. You're not holding the entire vessel, but the movement of the handle thereby causes the movement of the entire vessel. Similarly, with a partial phrase like ahay, you are in effect binding yourself to a full-fledged Nazirus period. So if you say ahay or you say ahay no'eh, I will be pleasant. Those are expressions, they're partial expressions, we call them yodos, handles, and they are binding, as if one said, ahe nazir, I will be a nazir. Now, the Gemara goes on with examples of kinuyim. Now, the structure of this Mishnah is a bit perplexing, and the Gemara will deal with that, because you opened the Mishnah stating that there exists such a thing as kinuyim, and then did not follow immediately with examples of it. But here we now have examples. The word nazir is the formal word. That's not a kinuy. That's the actual word. Now the kinuy, the alternative expressions, are nozik, noziach, poziach, harei ze nazir. If he says hareini nozik, or noziach, or poziach, he is binding himself into becoming a nazir. what is the basis of the origin of kinuyim, that's a discussion in and of itself. It was mentioned in Maseches Nedarim. We saw Machlokis there, Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish, one opinion saying that these words are actual foreign words, they're foreign translations of Nazirus. So that you're saying, in effect, I am being a Nazir, just using a foreign tongue. The other explanation is that they are rabbinic inventions. Why the rabbis invented words for the Nazirus instead of the actual word, so that's explained at greater length in Maseches Nedarim. There is a Tosfos here that elaborates on the topic of kinuyim, and there's also another explanation, another angle to why these specific words are chosen. The word nozik, noziach, and poziach. If you look in the Rashi commentary on the third narrow line, he says that the special feature of these words is the chimachkis leregel dekuf, the nozik. Imagine the word nozik, and you erased the extended leg of the kuf, the last letter of that word. So if you erase the leg, what would appear? So you see, nozir would appear. Likewise, v'doifen deches de nozich. The word noziach, again, imagine you would erase the left-hand leg of the ches. What would you be left with? The word nozir. And v'gago depei de poziach. If you were to erase the top part of the pei in the word poziach, the doifen ches, and the left-hand leg of the ches of that word poziach, shebo, so mashvis le nozir, you would also end up with the word nozir. So these terms have a special connection to nozir in a written form. Let's continue in the Mishnah. Hareini kozeh. A person says any one of these expressions. He says, Hareini kozeh, I'm going to be like this one. Hareini mesalsel. The word mesalsel we'll leave to the Gemara to deal with. Hareini mechalkel, also a word we'll have to leave for the Gemara to deal with. Harei olai l'shaleach pera. It is upon me to have my hair grow. Harei ze nazir. The use of any of those expressions will bind a person to nazirus. Harei olai tziporim. A person says, I accept upon myself the bringing of birds. Rabbi Meir Nozir. Rabbi Meir says that binds him to Nazirus. V'chachomim omrim eino Nozir. That does not bind him. Again, these are explained, each one in its location in the Gemara. On the side of our Gemara, you'll notice a topic heading, and we've written Lomo Maseches Nozir Nikbea Beseder Noshim Velo Beseder Kochim. Why does this tractate appear as part of the order dealing with Noshim, women, and not in the order of the Shas, the fifth order dealing with Kochim, with sacrifices and Beis Hamikdash related matters? And the reason for raising this question, Me'achar Shechele Godel Me'amasechet Oisek Bekorbanoisev Shalanozir, a large portion of this tractate deals with the sacrifices brought by the Nozir. So it would seem that Nozir should have been located in a different section of the Shas. So what is it doing over here in Seder Noshim? The Gemara, Michti. Let us look into this matter. Tana b'Seder Noshim Koi. The Tana, the author of the Mishnayos, is currently in the midst of Seder Noshim. We have learned Yevomis, Ksubos, Nedarim, and now Nozir. My time of Tani Nozir. Why is Nozir featured over here and not in Seder Kochim? And as we mentioned, based on what you can see in the Tosfos, that it should have been in the Seder Kochim, being that there is so much talk throughout this tractate concerning sacrifices. Gemara answers, Tana Akro Koi. The Tana is motivated by the psukim, kra, meaning the verses, the Torah psukim. In the Rashi commentary, Tona akro koi, Rashi says, ubedinhu dehavi le lemisne lebosur soita. Technically, this should have appeared after Maseches Sota, and we'll explain a little more about that in a moment. So, in the meantime, we have psukim to deal with. And what does the pasuk say? It says, "V'hoyim lo simso chen bi'enov ki motzo bo ervas dovar." If a man discovers in his wife a matter of immorality, and an example of immorality is the Sota woman. What's the Sota woman? This is a woman, and this too is a parsha in the Torah in Sefer Bamidbar, the perek preceding the Nazirus, perek Hey of Sefer Bamidbar deals with the case of the suspect married woman, suspect of behaving immorally, being with another man, and the pasuk cited here in the Gemara and Dvarim is alluding to that, where there is a matter of immorality that a man discovers in his wife, the Hachi Ka'omar, and this is what we mean. Mi Goram Lo Lavera, what causes sinful behavior? Yayin, the drinking of wine, becoming inebriated, intoxicated, drunkenness, and all kinds of lewd behavior that follows suit. So that, we find, is the root of sin in many, many cases. V'ko'omar, and the Torah is telling us, kol ha'roya soita b'kilkula yozir atzmo min hayayin. When one sees in the Beis HaMikdash the Sota ritual, and Mirtz Hashem, the next Masechta in the Daf Yomi cycle is Masechta Sota, and we'll leave the details of what happens for that Masechta, but there is a process involving the suspect woman and her being brought to the Beis HaMikdash and that which follows. So if one is participatory or witnesses this ritual, then Yozir Atzmu Min Hayayin, he should take upon himself the Nozir vow, restricting himself from wine as an act of, let's say, affirmation of avoidance of sin, which is caused by wine. So when we say that the Tana, in placing Maseches Nozir here in Seder Noshim, we understand 2 points. One is the Torah itself has it as the juxtaposition of the Psukim dealing with Sota and Nozir are next to each other. Technically speaking, Maseches Sota comes before the Psukim of Sota. They come before the Psukim dealing with Nozir. So one who sees the Sota Bekilkula should take upon himself the abstention from wine consumption. Once again, that's when we said the Tana is basing himself on the Psukim, that is what we just explained. And hence, as a result of the scriptural juxtaposition, we find the Masechet juxtaposition as well. There are those of you that might ask, well, if that's the case, shouldn't Maseches Sota have preceded Maseches Nozir? So that you'll find answered in Rashi. And there it's explained that after teaching Maseches Ksubis, which follows on the heels of Yevamos, in Maseches Ksubis, the 7th perek deals with the issue of vows, and hence it's appropriate to have Maseches Nedarim following Maseches Ksubis. And hence, once you're dealing with vows, Nazirus also is vow-oriented. So we put like things next to each other. That's why Maseches Nozir follows on the heels of Nedarim. So hopefully we have a pretty good picture of why Maseches Nozir is here in Seder Noshim. Again, the point that's worth emphasizing is that the Pasuk dealing with, let's say, Ervas Dovar, which the Gemara cited from Dvorim, Perichov Dalid, when a man discovers that his wife is involved with some, let's say, questionable moral behavior, we tie that into the presence of wine. And Nazirus represents the abstention from wine as an affirmation or a confirmation of the evils that wine has in its potential. We continue in the Gemara with a topic heading on the side before the actual text. The Nosei reads, Hezber leMivna haMishnah. We want to explain the structure of the Mishnah. ShePoscha beKinuyim. The opening of the Mishnah featured the existence of alternative expressions. Kol Kinuyin Nezirus Kinezirus. That was the opening statement of the Mishnah. V'loy Noisenes Dugmois Shel Kinuyi. The Mishnah doesn't give us examples of Kinuyim. Elo Oiveres Miad Lo Seis Dugmois Shel Yodois. But immediately, the Mishnah gives us examples of Yadus Bali Afilu Lufarish Shein Kayamim without even explaining that there is such a thing that exists. This idea of a partial statement that binds you fully. So we have a strange structure, Mishnah structure. Now the Gemara. Posach B'Kinuyim. The Mishnah opened up telling us about the existence of Kinuyim. Umeforesh Yados, and then immediately gives us examples of Yados, of partial phrases, without even telling us that such a phenomenon exists. In other words, you would have expected the mission after saying Kol Kinuyin Nezirus Kinezirus, say Kol Yados Nezirus Kinezirus. All partial expressions of Nezirus are binding like a full expression of Nozir vow. Omar Rava V'i Teima Kedi Rava, and some have the following without a name. Chisurei Mechaser V'hochi Katoni. The Mishnah is taught in an abbreviated fashion, and hence now you see a framed section. This is the Gemara's understanding of what the Mishnah is really saying. Kol Kini Nezirus Kinezirus. All partial Nezirus, all alternative expressions of Nezirus are like the formal Nazir expression. The Yados Nezirus Kinezirus. Here you have an insertion. And partial expressions are as binding as full expressions. The Elu Hein Yados. And after having established that there exists such a thing as Yados, the following are examples of Yados. Ha'oimer Ahei Harei Ze Nazir. Someone who says, I will be, he becomes a Nazir. Question. V'lifrosh kinuye b'resha. Why not explain or give examples of kinuyim at the outset? In other words, after you make the statement that they're all alternative expressions of Nazirus are like formal expressions of Nazirus, give us the examples. The Mishnah gives examples, but it doesn't give so immediately. So here the Gemara is asking, let them be given immediately. The Gemara answers, Tono mehahu desole kahu meforesh bereisha. Before giving an explanation, let's just use a numerical formula. The structure of the Mishnah is 1-2-2-1. In other words, opening, let's say, category 1, category 2, and then explanation of category 2, and then explanation of category 1. So that the Mishnah is telling it, is structured in that fashion, namely, the Tano Mehahu Desolik, from that which it departed. In other words, after stating category 1 and then category 2, the most recent category that was stated was Yados. Hahu Meforesh Bresha, that is what it explains immediately. It explains category 2. Kiddisnan, and there's precedent in Mishnaic literature to this effect. And we have a framed section of Gemara now. In effect, what we have here are a collection of phrases you find in Mishnayos throughout the Shas. In fact, this list are all from Maseches Shabbos. And you find this kind of Mishnah structure in the following examples. And you can see in the frame section, Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, three different Mishnayos that are structured in the fashion we just mentioned. We're not going to get involved with the explanation of those topics other than something, so a very brief translation. More important for us is to be just get the flavor of the Mishnah structure. After this answer, the Gemara will raise a question that do we not find Mishnayos with alternative structures? In other words, do we not find Mishnayos with the type of structure that we suggested in our question? And the Gemara will then give an answer three lines from the bottom to that particular question. In the meantime, we're answering that the structure of our Mishnah is, as we said, the 1-2-2-1 structure. Kedisnan. A Mishnah in the beginning of the second parak of Shabbos reads, Bameh madlikin uvamo ein madlikin. With what elements can you fuel fires on Shabbos? And it's, of course, lighting fires before Shabbos. And what kind of fuels can you not use in creating fires before Shabbos? So we have two categories. We have those that are suitable for lighting, those that are not suitable for lighting. Umeforesh Ein Madlikin Bereisha. Then in the Mishnah there, in Masechta Shabbos, when dealing with examples of the categories, it explains category, the second category, first. Another section of Masechta Shabbos, Bamet Toinin, this is the beginning of the fourth parak of Shabbos, Bamet Toinin Uvamo Ein Tomnin. Tomnin is a process of preserving the heat of pots of cooked food. You wrap them in different materials, and once again, without getting into any Shabbos-related details, just realize there are suitable materials for hatmona. Tomnin is also referred to hatmona, and there are materials that you do not use for tomnin, for hatmona. Umeforesh ein tomnin bereisha. So after mentioning, we'll say positive and negative, it explains first the negative. The second category is then illustrated in detail first. And the third example, also from Masechta Shabbos, Bameh Isha Yoitza, Uvamo Eino Yoitza, Umeforesh Lo Teitze Isha Bereisha. This has to do with the wearing of jewelry and ornaments on the part of women on Shabbos, where there is a prohibition of carrying items from one domain, from a private domain into a public domain, and vice versa. So the Mishnah deals with what type of ornaments and jewelry is a woman allowed to wear, and what kinds is she prohibited from wearing. And then in explaining, you notice the negative is explained first, and lo sei sei isha is explained the ratio at first, even though it was the second category that was mentioned. So you have three examples of what we said before in a formula fashion, the 1-2-2-1 setup. The Gemara asks, V'hotna, do we not have the following? And if we're going to continue using our formula, the question here is, do we not have Mishnayos that are set up in the 1-2-1-2 formula? In other words, opening category number one, second category number two, illustrations then in detail of category one, and only later illustrations in detail of category two. And if this question, let us say, were to be taken and applied to our Mishnah, so our Mishnah would have explained, presented the categories of first Kinuyim, and then Yodos, and then immediately explained Kinuyim first. But our Mishnah doesn't do that. Our Mishnah presented Kinui category, then Yad category, and then explained Yad category first before it explained the Kinui examples. So why is that? Do we not have Mishnayos in the 1-2-1-2 fashion? V'hotnan. Also from Masechta Shabbos, Bameh Behemo Yoitza. This has to do with animals and their wearing of different items while walking from one domain to another on Shabbos. So, behema yotza, what is a behema allowed to have upon it? Uvamo, a behema of an animal, and uvamo ena yotza, and what things are an animal not allowed to have on it on Shabbos while walking from one domain to another? Umeforesh yotze gomol bereisha, and there the detailed explanation examples are given of the positive first. So, as we said, you've got a 1-2-1-2 structure there. Likewise, and here you have from Maseches Bava Basra. It says, Yesh. This is a section in Maseches Bava Basra, the eighth perek, the eighth chapter of Maseches Bava Basra deals with the laws of inheritance. And there are those that are the benefactors, and there are the heirs. So the Mishnayos there deal with different categories. Once again, the details are not important for us. Just recognize the structure. So the Mishnah there says, Yesh Neuchlun Umanchilin. There are those that are capable of inheriting and bequeathing. There are those that are Nochlin Velo Manchilin, Manchilin Velo Nochlin, Lo Neuchlin Velo Manchilin. Umeforesh, and what's explained? There are four categories listed there. And what's explained first? Umeforesh, Elu, Nochlin, Manchilin, Beresha. Category one is explained in detail first. So why couldn't our Mishnah have been set up like that? Gemara responds, Eloli Oilum, Toni, Hachi, Vitoni, Hachi. Mishnayos do not have one consistent structure. Each area has its own explanations. If you notice, the Tosfos toward the bottom of the page, five lines from the end of the Tosfos page, he says, in each example, each case, Iko, Taimo, Hosom, each one has its own reasons. Hosom, the Surah Tanafshe, Pirush, Hatuya, Ba'odim, Atzmo, Kagon, Hatloka, Vatmona, when you're dealing with examples that involve a violation on the part of the person himself, like the examples in Maseches Shabbos, you were dealing the first frame section, starting with Bameh Madlikin, these were violations involving the person himself, so we wanted to immediately explain the prohibited aspects. When it comes to the laws concerning the animal, so it wanted to explain laws of permission first. Once again, the importance of us delving into the details at this juncture is not of utmost importance, just to realize that there isn't any one dictated style governing all Mishnah compilation. Rather, each topic is dealt with on its own. And here we continue in the Gemara, which serves really as the basis of that which we just read from the Tosfos. Ella, Hosam, in Maseches Shabbos, dealing with the Bameh Madlikin Uvamah Toinen, the Isura de Nafshei Hu, there you're dealing with a person himself possibly violating the Halacha. We want to know when is he what behavior is acceptable and what behavior would constitute violation. Meforesh Isura de Nafshe Beresha. The Mishnayos felt compelled to explain the prohibited aspects first. Gabi Behema, the Isura Aidi Behema Hudasi, with regard to the second frame section that opened with Bameh Behema, where the violation would come only as a result of the behemoth's, the animal's activity, which would reflect upon its owner. So, meforish hetero bereisha, that which is permitted is explained first. Let us continue at the top of Amud Beis. Gabi yesh neuchlin, with regard to the examples from Maseches Bava Basra, nami meforish ikur nachlo bereisha. There was a reason that it opened up with the examples of Yesh, of the Yesh Neuchlin Umanchilin, because the Mishnahs want to explain the basic, the primary laws of inheritance before delving into the exemptions. So with these three triangled explanations. You notice we were using triangles. These were the hesberim of the Mishnayos that the Gemara had cited in developing the question. We have offered explanations for those Mishnayos. Elohacha, but here in our Mishnah opening of Nozir, Lifroish Kinuye Beresha, why not explain Kinuyim, give examples of Kinuyim at the outset? In other words, after stating the categories of Kinuyim and Yodos, give us examples first of Kinuyim. Why does the Mishnah give us examples first of Yodos? Ela Hainu Tam. This is the reason why Yodos are explained first. Yodos Hayo the Asyon Le Midrasha. Since the existence of Yodos, partial phrases that constitute full acceptance of Nazirus, that such a thing exists and such a thing is effective, is derived from Droshos in Psukim, from we'll say biblical exposition. Chavivinle, that has special importance, special significance. In other words, the concept of Yodos is rooted in the oral tradition. Oral tradition meaning derivation from Psukim, though it's not stated explicitly. It's learned through the mechanics of the oral tradition. That's called Asyon Lei Midrasha. It's derived through Drasha, so it has special Chavivus. Chavivus means endearment. That's why Yodos are explained first. The Gemara asks, well, then V'liftach b'hom b'resha, then why doesn't the Mishnah open up with them? In other words, instead of opening up with Kol Kinuyin Nazirus, state Kol Yodos Nazirus Kinazirus. State that at the opening, of the first words of the Mishnah should have featured Yodos, that there exists Yodos, before even mentioning the existence of Kinuyim. The Gemara answers, Tana ki maschil, maschil be'ikr korban. The Tana, when he opens up the Masechta, he wants to open up with the basic example of korban. Korban means sacrifice. It means the basic Nazirus. How does one accept Nazirus in the fundamental, original fashion? Which leads, of course, to the bringing of sacrifices upon its conclusion. Now, you'll say, but Kinuyim isn't actual the actual word Nazir. So, Rashi points out that the word, the Kinuyim, are in effect a translation or an alternative word of Nazir. So it represents the original form of Nazirus, the original form of acceptance of Nazirus. So that was the Tana's primary interest in opening the Mishnah with that which is, we'll say, original Nazirus. Uvinu Perushi, but when it comes to the explanation and the detailing of these areas, Meforesh Yodos Beresha. There, primacy is given to Yodos, which, as we said, is derived from derived through Drosha, through the oral tradition. We continue with different points mentioned in the Mishnah. Ha'oimir Ahei Hareza Nazir. A person who says, I will be, that makes him into a Nazir. The Gemara asks, and on the side, by the way, we have a Noseic topic heading which reads, Biur Divrei HaMishnah Omer Ahei Hareza Nazir. Here we're explaining that section of the Mishnah. The Gemara asks, if all the person said is, Ahei, I will be, Dilma Ahei B'Tainis Komer, maybe the person is declaring that he will be in a Tainis, meaning he's accepting fasting upon himself. Before we continue with the answer, a word of structure. Notice we have a double underline and a diamond marking scheme. On the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, the structural note, the double underline highlights Shmuel, and the diamond highlights Chuvoisov, his answers, Lahasbir Eich L'Shoynes Nazirus Shel HaMishnah Toifsim. How do the expressions featured in the Mishnah concerning acceptance of Nazirus actually take hold? So before going on in the Gemara text, we like at times to take the bird's eye view of the sukkah. So if you have, you see the rest of this daf, you see Shmuel, double underlined here, and later on, with a diamond following. Notice on daf Gimel, Amud Aleph, also this marking scheme continues, where Shmuel will appear explaining the different words found in the Mishnah. So now Shmuel answers. If a person says, hey, maybe he means I will be in a fast, and I'm accepting upon myself a fast day. Omar Shmuel, kegoyin shia nozir oiver lefonov. The circumstances of the person saying I will be includes the fact that as he says, hey, I will be, an actual nozir was walking in front of him. So we associate his ahe with that which is taking place. Gemara asks, Lema Kosovar Shmuel, should we suggest from this that Shmuel is of the opinion, Yodayim She'enon Mochichos, Loi Havion Yodayim? This really is the tip of an iceberg. Here the Gemara is citing an entire sugya, an entire topic. And here we meet up with it. Yodayim, partial expressions, she'enon mechichos, that in and of themselves are not clear. The use of a partial expression that in and of itself is not clear would not be binding. Should we say that Shmuel is of that opinion? Why are we led to think that over here? Because the mere statement of a hey, according to Shmuel, wouldn't have been binding, would not have created Nazirus, unless you have the Nazir actually walking in front of him. That created clarity, but without that, it wouldn't have been binding as Nazirus. So should we conclude from this that Shmuel is of that opinion, that Yodayim She'enon Mochiros, that partial expressions that lack clarity are not Yodayim, they're not binding? As far as how to continue reading the Gemara, this is quite a discussion in the commentaries. So we'll adopt one of the approaches. Amri, in fact, Shmuel is of the opinion that Yodayim She'ein Mochichos in other areas would be binding. However, in this case, if you had just a hay without the nozir walking in front of you, you wouldn't have had even something that's called a yad. It would have been totally non-understandable because of the distinct possibility that it would have meant something else entirely. So that you can't conclude from this position of Shmuel what he holds in general regarding Yodayim She'ein Mochichos. We should point out that the explanation we're giving now is found in the Tosfos Dibur Masa Hochi Garsinon, the second part of the Tosfos there. So Shmuel, as far as the Gemara is concerned, might very well hold that in other topics Yodayim She'ein Mochichos would be binding. The partial expressions that don't have full clarity are binding. However, over here, Bizman Shenozir Oiver Lefonov, when a Nozir is passing in front of him, Leka Lisfuka Bemilsachrine, there is nothing else to even consider as to what was on this fellow's mind when he said, hey, Avol Ein Nozir Oiver Lefonov. However, if a Nozir was not passing in front of him, Amrinon, we say, Dilma Ahe Betainis Komar, maybe he's accepting upon himself Tainis, a fast day. And hence, he is making no reference to Nazirus whatsoever. So that in a case like this, of a person saying simply Ahe, without a Nazir walking in front of him, you don't even have, you don't have even a vague reference to Nazirus. The Gemara asks, okay, so now we understand that the case of the Mishnah of someone saying, he becomes a Nazir is because a Nazir is walking past him. But even so, we want to ask, V'dilmol lefotrumin karbonoisov komar? Maybe all the speaker is accepting upon himself is that I will be the one to bring his sacrifices upon the completion of the Nazirus period. We mentioned earlier, sacrifices are brought by that individual. So in this particular case, you have this onlooker who sees a Nazir passing by, and he's saying, hey, I will be the one to bring his sacrifices. But he's not accepting upon himself wine abstention and the hair growth, etc. The Gemara responds, de ka'omar belibo. The person who's saying ahei, he is thinking at the same time, literally saying in his heart, he's thinking at the time that I want to accept Nazirus upon myself. So the Gemara asks, ihochi maila memra, if that's the case, why does the Mishnah have to bother telling us that which would seem to be obvious? You have a guy saying, hey, I will be. A Nazir is walking by, and while that's happening, he's thinking, I want to accept upon myself Nazirus. Is that not obvious then, that he will be a Nazir? The Gemara answers, without the Mishnah telling us this halacha, mahu detema, I would have thought, bo'inon piv v'liboy shoven, that in order for one to be bound, he requires a verbal statement of what he is thinking. And that which he is merely thinking internally is not enough. Komash malon, so the Mishnah tells us by this partial statement, ahei, plus the internal thought process, he becomes bound to Nazirus, provided, of course, a Nazir is walking by. The Gemara continues with the Ahei Noe. And on the side of the Gemara, under our Nose heading, we quote Ahei Noe, having Nazir, by saying, I will be pleasant. That makes him into a Nazir. V'dilma Noe, the fun of the mitzvahs. Maybe, and this is what the Gemara's opening question will be, is that I will be pleasant, that all the person is saying is, I will be pleasant to the Almighty in performance of mitzvahs, and not a reference to Nazirus. Eich Nazirus nishma mi noe, bizman she Nazir nechshav chote. The Gemara will raise another question. How can Nazirus be considered a fulfillment of pleasantness when we know that a Nazir is considered a type of sinner? How can that which is described as a sinful behavior as something pleasant? Now the Gemara. The Gemara opens with a question. Notice we have a long question marking. We take in a Tanaic source, V'dilmo, anoy lefonov b'mitzvahs, maybe when one says, I will be pleasant, he really means I'll be pleasant in the sense of mitzvah fulfillment, namely in performing mitzvahs in a pleasant, positive, glorified fashion. Kivisanya, the Tanaic source, opens with a pasuk, Zek Keli V'anvehu. This is a pasuk from the Shiras Hayam, from the song stated by Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people upon the splitting of the sea. And in that passage, it says, Zek Keli V'anvehu. And we learn from that, Anoe Lefonov B'mitzvahs. I will be pleasant to the Almighty in my mitzvah performance. Examples, Aseh Lefonov Sukkanoe, Luluv Noe, Tzitzis Noe. I will make a nice sukkah, a nice lulav, nice tzitzis. Echtav Lefonov Sefer Torah Noe, Echrechenu B'shiroi Noeim. I will write a nice Sefer Torah and cloak it with fine cloths. So, how do you see that Ahei Noe leads to becoming a Nazir? Omar Shmuel, again the double underlined Shmuel, you see, explaining the Mishnah. Shetofus Besaira of Omar Noe. This person is holding his hair when he says Anoe. What does one thing have to do with another? So, he's in effect saying, I want my hair to become long, of course, relatively speaking, long and nice looking, we'll say, locks of hair. And how does one achieve that? Obviously by letting his hair grow, but hair growth is something that's pretty clearly associated with Nazirus. The Gemara asks, Nazira milsa davero v'amrina lo noya? Is it not so that Nazirus has within it an element of sinfulness? How then can that be described by the word noya, meaning pleasantry? The Gemara answers, and we continue at the top of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. In Nazirus can be described as something noya, something pleasant. Even according to the Tana, Reb Elazar HaKapor, who says that a nozir is considered a sinner, hani mili gabi nozir tome. That is in the context of a nozir that defiled himself. A nozir that defiled himself is required to wait a period of 7 days for purification, and then he has to start his counting afresh. The Aidi, the boy mistar, we skip the bracketed two lines, and we continue reading, Hosamhu Dilma Osi Lemevar Nazirusa. Since he has to, mistar means knock down and restart. Since the days that he counted up till the point of defilement are voided, he loses credit for those days. We said your standard Nazirus is a minimum of 30 days. So if he, let's say, counted 20 days, and on day 20 he became defiled, he waits 7 days for purification, and then restarts again, counting 30 more days. So then he lost credit for the 20 days that he counted. We're fearful that since that takes place, that he's now elongated the entire nazir period. And having elongated the entire nazir period, he might come to expose himself again to defilement. It's hard to keep yourself on guard for so long. And Rashi mentions that which you find in the Gemara, since he needs to observe so many days, more than he originally anticipated, he might come to regret his Nazirus. And if he regrets his Nazirus, and at the end of that period he ends up bringing sacrifices, the sacrifices he's bringing with a regretful attitude that borders on bringing chulin bazora, which is itself a sin. We're not saying it's actual chulin bazora, chulin meaning that which is mundane, but when you bring a sacrifice and you don't have, let's say, full commitment to what you're doing, you're just bringing it through some type of feelingless behavior, lack of feeling, lack of commitment, it's tantamount to bringing chulin lazora. So that's sinful. The Gemara continues, Aval nozir tor lav chote koribe. But a nozir that maintains his purity and completes his nazirus without defilement, that we would not call a sinner. Before we go further in the Gemara and offer any further explanations, let's go back over the bracketed section. We mentioned that this idea of viewing Nazirus as chote, as sinful, that is true in the context of a Nazir that defiled, that became defiled. We're not saying that the defilement itself is the act of sin, but we are saying that because of the elongation of the Nazirus, he might find himself with a type of sinful attitude, as we explained. But the whole concept of Nazir being associated with sinfulness, that's in the context of the Nazir that defiled himself. So the Gemara says on the second line from the top again, Hani mili gabi nozir tomi, the Aidi the boy mistar, since he has to recount, the Omar Rachmona, the Torah says regarding the nozir that became tomei, Vayomim harishonim yiplu kitime nizro, the first days that he counted up till that point, yiplu, fall away, he loses credit for them, because he defiled his nazirus. So Hasam Hu, in that case, Dumasi the Meval Nazirusa, he might come to violate his Nazirus, and we elaborated on that already. Avol Nazir Tohar Lav Chote Koribe, but a Nazir who maintains Taro, maintains his purity, he's not called a sinner. So therefore, when a person says, "Hey Noah, I will be pleasant," and he's holding his hair, that is associated with accepting Nazirus. Now, we're in a Gemara markings dafyomi mode, so I don't want to, let's say, at this point, delay on a particular point, but some of you might know other sources on this topic where you find even a standard nazir being referred to as a sinner. And we're not saying that in our Gemara. We're saying to the contrary. So as far as that topic, if you happen to be familiar with those other sources, this is dealt with in the Tosfos that you will find on Daf Gimel, on Daf Beis Amid Beis, the second to last Tosfos deals with that particular interesting question. But for our purposes, we will be pausing here. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.